Thankful to have them with us. Preacher, I want you to come. You take the congregation. He's going to share his burden with you just a moment. Then he's going to preach to our hearts tonight. Looking forward to hearing him. Got to meet them when they come on with Prayer Baptist Missions. And then was with them back in February at the mission school there in Robbinsville. And got to know them a little bit better. Honored to have them with us tonight. And he'll share his burden. Then he'll preach the word of God to us tonight.
Amen. It is good to be here tonight. As you said, we are missionaries with Prayer Baptist Missions to the country of Uganda. This is my wife, Debbie, over here, my oldest son, Vance, youngest son, Jacob. Thrilled to be here tonight. Appreciate the privilege, preacher, to be here. If you got your Bibles, open them up the book of Acts tonight. While you're turning there, we'll share a little bit about what God's done. We'll be in Acts chapter 1, if you will. But give you a little bit of a burden and a call now. People ask us all the time, so why'd you choose Uganda? The answer to that is I did not choose it, amen. God chose it for me. God called us. I remember it was last year. I was pastor of a church here in LaGrange, Georgia, and I thought that's where I'd be from now on. I'd made that statement. We was there, and God was a blessing, and the church was a growing. I never had 1 minute's trouble. And boy, we were seeing folks saved, and God was just doing great things there. But we took a trip last year to visit a friend of ours, Brother Jeremy Holloway. I believe y'all know him, but y'all support him. But it was there about the time Brother Jeremy had to come out of South Sudan. Y'all know the story there about it, the fighting and all, and him and his family had to come out. And it was based in Uganda during that time, filling in for a missionary. Me and Brother Jeremy go way back. We was out of the same home church there in Roanoke, Alabama. And we got saved not very far apart there, so been knowing each other a long time. And we went there with one thought in mind, just to be a blessing to them and to be an encouragement. And he had been after me about coming over and preaching. And me and my oldest son just got back from the Philippines. We'd visited one of our missionaries there. And I told him, I said, I just don't have the funds. I said, it'd be a miracle if God worked it out. And it was about a week later, God supplied the need for us to go. Me and my wife went. So we carried another family from a church, and so we went to visit them, and it was there God got a hold of our heart as never before. I remember landing in that capital city of Kampala as we drove up that next day. We drove up through the countryside there, and boy, God began to burden my heart with that verse. He said, look upon the fields, for they're white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He'd send forth laborers, and I began to pray that. I remember one little town, especially the town of Luwero. Little town there, little market town, market center, if you would. They come from different villages of the trade center. And we stopped there, and I remember as we stopped there in that market and bought some pineapples, got some diesel fuel. There's a big old mosque on one side of the road and a Catholic church on the other. I asked him, I said, who's reaching these people? He said, nobody. And we got down and prayed right there in the corner of that market that God would send somebody to that place. And I remember that, and we went on. I didn't think nothing else about it. And we went on up, and boy, we saw God begin to work, and God moved up there. We saw about 18 saved on that 2 weeks we was there. And God was still burdened in my heart. And boy, I saw the need and the hunger that they had there for the word of God. I mean, there was a hunger for it, but nobody there to give them the truth. There are all types of false cults and religions over there, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Muslims, everything. But nobody preaching the truth to those people for about an eight-hour drive up through that countryside from Kampala up to Arua town where we was at. There was nobody there for that stretch. And that was a burden on our heart. And I was praying the whole time, God send somebody. Hey, it was a young lady. Well, she was a middle-aged lady at this time. She'd come out of a village and got saved and was there in the church where Brother Jeremy was filling in. And she got under a burden for her village that she'd come out of. And she asked us if we'd go back and go door knocking. This is about 2 days before we left, so we went back. And we went to that little village called Maracha, right on the border of the Congo, and a little smaller village outside of Maracha. And it was there. We went up there and met with the chief and told him what we came for. And he said, all right. He said, I want y'all to wait up under the mango tree. In about 5 minutes' time, he had everybody in that village to drop what they was doing. And they all gathered around that mango tree. And the preacher asked me, said, do you have anything on your heart? And I said, sure. Of course, any Baptist preacher, you got those outlines, amen. And I began to walk off and thumb through them, but I got to thinking, what in the world do you preach to somebody that's never heard? They had told us that they'd never heard a presentation of the gospel. They'd never heard that. They've only heard the false doctrine of the Catholic Church and all.
So I walked off out in the field, got to talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want? God directed me to go to Genesis 1:1. We come back, and for about a 3-hour span, we took them from Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God. And we took them all the way to Calvary, and we saw God begin to move. We told them about a place called hell and about a place called heaven. But Calvary was how to miss hell to get to heaven, where Jesus said, it is finished. The payment of sins was finished. And boy, God began to work on their faces. God, tears began to run down those dark-skinned faces. And boy, we was watching God working. And it was a rainy season. We had to dismiss. And the chief come up to us and said, sirs, if the things you've told us is true, he said, we're in a mess. Would you please come back and help us? And I said, yes, sir, I'll be back. And I thought, now, I thought, preacher, that God needed me where I was at. Yeah. I was thinking, well, he'll never call me. And I had about 4 preachers in the church under me. My way of thinking was, I'm going to come home, and we'll schedule a trip to go back. I'll carry those men. Lord willing, they'll be able to go, and we'll set up a tent. We'll run there for a while, see folks saved, and let the missionary follow up behind them. And I was going to pray that God would call one of those other men to go back. But as I got home, I found out that it wasn't them God was calling, it was me. God was the deal in my heart. I got back, tried to get back in the mold of pastoring there, but I couldn't. But I found out Isaiah 50:55 there, the truth of it, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways there. I saw that there. I said, all right, Lord. He was dealing with me. I said, give me a verse on this. He gave me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands. And God was dealing with me. I said, okay, Lord, that's good. Give me one more verse, amen. But God was faithful, and he gave me another one. And long story short, we surrendered to go and turned the church over to our assistant pastor. Took a few meetings during July, the end of July and August there. We started full-time deputation in November. And the Lord's been real good to us. I praise his name for that. Just the other day, we was able to purchase our one-way tickets to Uganda. We're headed out February the 5th. Going back to that place, as I got to, we surrendered going back. I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? I said, where's your direction? And he took me back to the verse. He said, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands. God directed us to go into a place and to start a work from scratch. He reminded us about the little place where we knelt down and prayed in the corner of that market. He said, you prayed for a missionary. You prayed for somebody to go. He said, you're the one. So that's where we'll be headed back to Luero. We'll be landing and staying there with Brother Holloway long enough to get us a place set up, a house set up. We're going to try to get Mama a home set up there for her, and then we're going to try our best to hit the ground running and see souls saved for the glory of God. Our goal is to get a Bible college set up there to train nationals and to teach them in the fundamentals and the truths of the faith there. So much false doctrines over there. Hopefully see young men called in the ministry, train them to go out, equip them to go out to plant independent Baptist churches all over that East African region. So please pray for the Knowles family. Also, our goal is to start a radio station. We've had a church partner with us to give us equipment. All we had to pay for was the shipping. We've raised the money for that. So Lord willing, we'll work on getting our licenses for that now, but we'll be planting that there. About 70% of their information comes through the radio. So we're hoping to use that means as well. So just please pray for the Knowles family. Please take a prayer card out of the back. If you got any other questions, be glad to answer them after church there. But we sure do appreciate the privilege to be here with you tonight. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to read these scriptures and preach a little quick thought tonight, Lord willing. Had two on my heart. Thought about just trying to combine them, preaching both of them, amen. Had a little more time, we would. It's not a problem of having something to preach. I want to make sure I've got the right thing to preach, amen. There's plenty to preach, but I want to have the mind of the Holy Ghost tonight, and I believe I do. I'll try my best. I'm going to mind him if we can. Verse 1 said, the former trustee have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Under the day which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Skip over to verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which said unto him, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." I was going to stop reading in verse 8, but boy, I got to looking there. I like that word about that same, this same Jesus. Amen. I'm glad this same Jesus is coming again. Like he left in like matter, he's coming again. I'm looking forward to that day when the eastern sky is going to crack open and our Lord is going to come back. But till that time, but until he comes, may we be laboring, may we be working. And here's the title of my message, In the Unfinished Work of Christ. Friend, the unfinished word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, I thank you today for your precious word. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, to stand, Lord, to share our burden one more time. Lord, you know me, Lord. You know my faults. You know my failures. God, you know that I can't preach, God, unless you help me. God, and I humble myself before you, Lord, and I say, God, fill me. Lord, one more time with the Holy Ghost. Help me to be a blessing and a help to somebody. God, I ask you to make us a blessing and a year and use us tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you and be careful to give you all the praise and honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have the unfinished work of Christ, friend. I want to take just a few minutes, and that's about all we're going to be able to take here. Amen. But for 4,000 years, friend, for 4,000 years before Christ came, that they were saved, friend, looking forward to Calvary. I believe it's always been one way of salvation, friend, by grace through faith. They were saved looking forward to a time, friend, when the Lamb of God was to come. Friend, and it tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent forth his son. Boy, I believe in John 1:29 there, friend, that they knew something. Those Jews knew all about the Lamb of God that they'd bring every year that would cover their sins. But when John cried out in John 1:29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." This wasn't a Lamb of God to cover the sins. This was a one, friend, to take them away. Friend, I want to say he came there. And since he came, we're looking backwards today, friend, to an event that's already taken place. Those Old Testament saints look forward by faith. Friend, we're looking backwards by faith because he's already came. Thank God that he did come there. You see, God's had a mission, friend, from the get-go, from the beginning there. Amen. This is Alabama terminology there. I hope y'all will stay with me on that. Amen. But this is God's mission has been redemption. To redeem mankind. You see, when God didn't have a missionary to send out to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell, he went himself. God himself was the first missionary for him. He went to where they was when they had fallen into sin, and he killed a little innocent lamb. Blood was shed, friend. Salvation is through the blood, friend. Thank God for the shedding of blood tonight. And he clothed them. I'm glad that he clothes us tonight. That mission of redemption was God's from the get-go. And through all those years, that was his mission there. Satan has a mission tonight. That's to oppose the plan of God. Friend, to hinder and to stop the plan of God. Friend, I want to say tried all through the years to try to stop him. He's tried to stop the church. He's tried to stop Israel. He tried to stop him in the days of the kings. When Christ was born, you know the story of Herod. When the wise men came, he said, "Tell me where he's at when you find him, that I may worship him." He's going to kill him. And when they went another way, he killed all the babies trying to kill. Friend, that was Satan trying to stop the Lamb of God, friend. Trying to stop him, friend. But he's opposed him through all those years. And here in our text now, and in the Great Commission, we see that God, that mission of redemption that God had. Through all those years, he had passed it down to mankind. If you would, he's passed the baton off to you and I. Friend, that God used to do, he used to be him. He's passed that baton off, friend, to you and I there. Friend, you see, he's given unto us. There's some finished works of Christ, and I want to just think about that, the work of creation. Yeah. It's a finished work. That's right. You see, that was it was done 6 literal days. Jesus created everything. Colossians tells us it was Him. It says, by Him were all things made. You see, He created everything in 7 days. He rested the 7th day. You see, that's a finished work. The work of the cross. It's the work Jesus came to do. He came to this work. Remember when He told His disciples that I'm going to Calvary. He said, I'm going to be taken and I'm going to be beaten and abused and bruised and I'm going to die. The Son of Man's going to die. And Peter said, Lord, be it far from Thee. He said, for this cause came I into the world. That was the work that Jesus came to finish, friend. Was the work of the cross, friend, where He paid the penalty for our sins. He paid the wages for our sins. You see, the wages of sin was death. Somebody had to die. God's a holy God. God's a just God. I know what 1 John said, that God is love. And just because He's love does not do away with the fact that He's a holy God. And He's going to judge sin. And He will judge sin. Friend, the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. But I'm glad, friend, that Jesus went to Calvary. He died, friend, so that I wouldn't have to. Friend, I want to say He finished the work of Calvary. He paid the price of our sins, friend. He shed His own blood. That's where redeemed what were corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. Friend, I'm glad the Calvary is a finished work. The Bible says that He suffered once for sins. Friend, I don't like seeing the crosses and those crucifixes where He's still hanging there. Friend, as the song says, does He still feel the nails? Every time I fail, I hope I don't step out because He don't feel it, amen? He's not suffering no more, friend. The Bible's clear about it. He suffered once, friend, for sins. Friend, I'm glad the cross is a finished work. Creation is a finished work, friend, but I'm glad there's still one more work that's not finished. Look at verse 1, back at Acts 1:1. The former trustee have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He began, friend, this work of redemption. But you see, He's passed on, and He gave the commission to us. Friend, we have a mandate, friend, to go ye into all the world. He said to Kay, saying to carry on the word. Where's a mandate to go ye? He said to go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Friend, every creature needs a preacher there, amen? And the mandate is, I'm glad He didn't only give us a mandate, but He gave us the message. He told us what to say. Thank God for the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That gospel means good news. It was good news January 31st, 2004. When I found out that I didn't have to die and go to devil's hell. It was good news when I didn't have to live no longer under the bondage of addiction to methamphetamines and everything else. It was a God friend that came to free me from all that. Good news, friend. I'm glad that's the message that we carry. The same message, friend, works right here in Bowling Springs. Same one that worked in Roanoke, Alabama, where I was. Same one that's going to work in Luero, Uganda. Same one that'll work all around this world. Friend, I'm glad He didn't only give us a mandate, but He gave us a message. Friend, but I'm glad that He gave us a mighty power that it takes to carry this job out there. Amen. He's given us the power. Friend, I want to say He is Emmanuel. That's God with the Sarah. Look at verse 8, and I'm done here. I want to read this verse 8 and show you 4 things. Out of verse 8, I won't preach them there. All that was introduction, amen? We'll give you this thought here, and I'll be done. But you say, what kind of God would it be to give us a task of reaching this generation for Christ? What kind of God would it be to give us a task and put on us, and I believe that we will be responsible for our generation? I believe that. I believe that God will hold me responsible. I believe the judgment seat of Christ. I'll not be judged for my sins. They have already been judged on Calvary. Friend, but I believe that I will be judged for the opportunities and the talents that God gave to me and the call that He's had on me. He'll hold me accountable. Was I faithful? Was I doing everything that I could? I believe that we will be held accountable. I believe He will hold us accountable for our generation. Are we doing what we can? Are we doing everything that we possibly can? We read it right there. He's coming again. In like matter, friend, when He comes back, I want to be found busy. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found doing everything that I can, friend, to get the job done. Amen. He's given us a job, but what kind of God would it be to give us that task of reaching the whole world and not give us the equipment that we need to do it? Friend, but I'm glad to report to you tonight that He didn't. Matthew 28 said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And in Acts 1:8, He said, but ye shall receive power. Four things out of this verse, friend, that He gave us. Friend, I want to say, give us a power that's supernatural. Friend, the task that we have to carry out, it's not going to be on our oratory skills. I can't even pronounce the word, amen. It's not going to be up to how I preach, amen. It's not going to be up to the outline or how I got it organized. This won't be in all that. It won't be according to my skill. It won't be according to the power of positive thinking. Friend, it won't be according to the power of the flesh, but it's going to be according to the power of God. But He said, ye shall receive power. I'm glad, friend, to give us power tonight, amen. He give us power to live right. You see our life that we live and our lips ought to coincide. If I preach righteousness and holiness, friend, and I do, I ought to live it, friend. And you see God's given us the power to do that. In John 1:12, He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. There, He's given us power to live, friend. I want to say He's given us power to love. The night I got saved there, friend, they was folks that I wouldn't spit on if they was on fire. I just didn't care about them, amen. I'm just being honest with you. I was lost. But when I got up from that altar that night, there was something happened. God done tipped over something in my soul. Friend, I want to say the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. He gave me power to love those, friend. That's unlovable, friend. I love those who God loves. Friend, now you see, that's what happens when we get close to Him. He gives us power to love, power to live, power to labor, power to learn, friend, things from His Word. Friend, I want to say, He said, you shall receive power. Friend, He gives us a supernatural power. Not only that, we're not in this thing alone, friend. He gives us a partner, this supernatural. I'm glad I'm not running this race alone. He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, amen. I'm glad the charismatic, they hadn't scared me away from that term. I know what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. Thank God for it. Ain't nothing about speaking in tongues neither, but it is all about speaking the Word of God with boldness there. Thank God, I know what it is. A friend to hear the still small voice of the Holy Ghost of God. He's a partner friend that walks with me. He's a partner friend that'll carry me along the deputation trail. He's a partner friend that'll go with me as we board the Delta flight. He's a partner friend that'll go with me over there in Luero, Uganda. I'm glad for the partner that we have. Amen. A partner that's supernatural. Friend, we're to be led of the Spirit of God. He decides our path. Amen. If we're sensitive to Him. Friend, we're to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You see, the Holy Ghost ain't a substance neither that you get more of. A lot of folks thought that. I thought that for a while after I was saved. I said, Lord, I want more of the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to get no more of the Holy Ghost than you already got. I got as much of the Holy Ghost as I'll ever get when I got saved, amen. He's not a substance. He's not an it. Friend, He's a person, amen. I'm glad He dwells on the inside of me. I'm glad every once in a while when we get in service, we get to singing about Calvary, singing about Jesus. Boy, He goes to kicking around down in there, friend. And I go to feeling something bubbling up in my soul. Friend, I'm glad for the partner. He fills me. Boy, I'm glad. Paul talked about over there in Ephesians chapter 3, said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You see, being full of the Holy Ghost is not you getting more of God. It's God getting more of you. Hey, I thought about this. There's four chambers in our heart, in our physical heart, in our spiritual heart. I wonder how many chambers they are. Friend, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Friend, is there some chambers in your heart and in your life that we are not letting God into? Friend, you see, we'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost of God till we say, all right, Lord, here am I, send me. There's not an area in my life that I'm not going to let you have control of. Friend, you see, He'll fill us. He'll lead us, friend. I want to say, we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be led of the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. That's dictated by our obedience. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. There's a partner, supernatural. Let me give you the last two and I'm done. Friend, I want to say there's a plan that's simple. He said, but you shall receive power. A power supernatural. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's a partner of the supernatural. But then there's a plan that's simple. He said, you shall be witnesses. I've never been called up on the witness stand. I've been called for jury duty a couple times, and I told them some crazy stuff got out of that, amen? That's before Christ, amen, so don't. But anyway, I just lost all train of thought there, amen? But hey, a witness is called up there. Thank you, Lord, I've messed up, amen. A witness is called up there, and they tell what they know. You see, that's all say, well, I can't tell nobody about the Lord. Have you been saved? Have you been born again, washed in the blood? Then you can witness. That's all the witness does is tell what they know. Boy, I'm glad that I know him, amen. I'm glad I know what happened January the 31st, 2004, when this old drunkard, this old dope patty that everybody said there was no hope for. I'm glad that everybody else, when they give up on me, that God didn't give up, friend. He came to where I was. I know what happened, friend, the day I got up and walked away from all those bondages, everything else. It wasn't a 12-step program. It wasn't a 5-step. It wasn't none of that, friend. It was a 1-step. I took 1 step toward a holy God, friend, and he wrapped me in his loving arms. He ran to where I was and he changed my life, friend. Friend, I'm glad I know what it is. Boy, I got something to tell tonight, amen. Boy, if you're saved tonight, you got a story. Paul, everywhere Paul went, he told a story. When Paul was on trial, you thought he'd be trying to get out of trouble there, amen, where they lied about him. And he went before Festus, you thought he was going to try to get out of it. Paul took that opportunity and said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I was on the road to Damascus. He said, I saw a great light. That's what we ought to do. We ought to tell about the day we saw the light, amen. I'm glad I saw the light one day. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when I saw that I was lost and undone. The light of the gospel shined into my dark soul. Friend, the day I saw the light, friend, the day I was saved by grace. Friend, the day he sent me by his grace. We ought to tell him we've got something to witness about. But I'm done right here. Not only that, we got a plan is simple. We got a place that's specific. He didn't leave anything out. He said, but you shall be witnesses unto me. That's for me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and in uttermost parts of the world. Friend, that's that home place, Jerusalem, friends, family, co-workers, neighbors. That's your home places. Those hindered places, that was Judea. Judea was the religious capital of the world at that time. Housed the temple in Jerusalem there. It's where all that religious crowd was. You know what the hardest crowd is to reach? Is that religious crowd. Our churches are full of lost people today, amen? I believe that. But then you got those hopeless crowd. That was that Samaria crowd. That was that crowd the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with. They said they're too far gone. Boy, I know some like that. I know some places that they say, just stay away from there. There's no use in it. Boy, that's the places I want to go. Those hopeless places, but then those hard places. Those uttermost parts of the world. That's across the states, across the seas. Friend, every creature needs a preacher. The Lord is coming soon. I believe that with all my heart. I want to be found working. You see, he's finished the work of creation. He's finished the work of Calvary. But friend, the work of building this church is still going on. He's given that to our hands. He's given us a power supernatural. He's given us a partner supernatural. He's given us a plan that's simple and a place that's specific. Father in heaven, I pray that you bless the word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Lord, use the message in Jesus' name. Amen.